Emotions ran hot at a hearing about a bill that would institute a sandhill crane hunt in Wisconsin. Farmers say the birds create millions in crop damage every year. It's Thursday, November 20th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, a proposal to expand sports betting in Wisconsin won't move forward. And we hear from a man whose memoir tells the story of his time in prison and how he changed his life. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
People weighed in on a bill that would allow hunting of sandhill cranes during a public hearing yesterday. As Daniel Kading reports, supporters say it would help farmers experiencing crop damage, but opponents argue it would put the birds at risk.
The eastern population of sandhill cranes, which includes Wisconsin, has grown to more than 100,000 birds. As they've grown, the birds have caused farmers nearly $2 million in crop damage. Farmer Rick Gerke with the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association says a hunt would help manage the birds and aid farmers as cranes feed on freshly planted corn.
It will maintain a healthy crane population while giving farmers a meaningful way to reduce severe and reoccurring damage.
But a proposed amendment to the bill would remove funding to reimburse farmers for the cost of seed treatment to repel the birds. The International Crane Foundation warns bird flu threatens the stability of sandhill cranes, and they fear endangered whooping cranes could be mistakenly shot. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison-based biotech company Exact Sciences could be acquired by Abbott Laboratories. That's according to a report yesterday from Bloomberg News. Citing anonymous sources, Bloomberg reported the discussions are ongoing and a deal could still be delayed or fall through. The business news outlet said the potential acquisition would be the biggest deal of the year in the global healthcare sector. Exact Sciences is best known for its colon cancer screening test, Cologuard. It employs more than 7,000 people, about half of them in Wisconsin. The company laid off about 4% of its workforce earlier this year, including about 200 in Wisconsin. Abbott is headquartered in Lake County, Illinois. The pharmaceutical and medical device maker has more than 114,000 employees worldwide. A bipartisan effort to legalize online sports betting in Wisconsin was scheduled for a vote in the state assembly yesterday. But as Anya Van Wagtendonk explains, it hit a roadblock.
The bill would allow people to place bets online in Wisconsin as long as the computer server managing those bets is on tribal property. But it faced pushback from conservatives who said it gave tribes an unfair monopoly and opposition from national online gaming outfits who said the legislation would keep them out of Wisconsin. Republican Representative Tyler August of Walworth co-authored the bipartisan bill and said he'd pulled it from the assembly calendar after hearing concerns from fellow Republicans. But he said lawmakers will take it up again soon.
There's no rush on this. It's the right thing for the state, and I'm confident that we'll get there.
Democrats and Republicans who back the legislation say online sports betting is popular and that Wisconsin is losing revenue by not allowing it. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wedding barn owners in Wisconsin have lost their lawsuit challenging a requirement that they get liquor licenses or limit events. The case stems from a major bipartisan bill that made significant changes to Wisconsin's alcohol industry. One provision required wedding barns to get a liquor license or a permit allowing patrons to serve their own alcohol just six times a year. Two wedding barn owners sued, claiming their constitutional right to earn a living is being violated. In an oral ruling yesterday, Trumbull County Judge Ryan Radke dismissed the case and said the license requirement will apply to all businesses where alcohol is consumed.
Thus, the court agrees that the legislature has a rational basis for the plaintiffs to be regulated with similarly situated businesses under Chapter 125 to protect against excessive drinking.
The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty represented the wedding barn owners. The firm said it's disappointed by the ruling and is discussing next steps. Assembly Republicans yesterday approved a half a dozen bills aimed at consolidating school districts in Wisconsin. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, debate on the plans focused on what's led to schools' troubles to begin with.
Republicans say the proposals respond to declining enrollment in public schools. The legislation includes financial incentives to merge schools and blend classrooms with lower enrollment. Democrats blasted the legislation. They said that Republicans are responsible for the loss of public school students. Representative Angelina Cruz of Racine said the solution is more funding.
Let's stop forcing communities into consolidation by starving them first.
Republicans say Wisconsin's demographic decline overall is to blame and that they're offering optional resources for schools who want to explore them. The plans head next to the state Senate. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After the break, a Racine man's story of being incarcerated and turning his life around. Stay with us.
When you're online, visit WPR.org. You'll find news headlines from WPR and NPR and feature stories about arts, culture, music, and politics. Explore our live audio streams, links to program information, or check out upcoming events in your area. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
And finally, Charmaine Harris grew up in Racine. He was the first in his family to attend college, but he would later do time in prison on drug charges. While in prison, he set himself on a new path and went on to complete his education and become a mentor to fathers. In 2022, Governor Tony Evers pardoned Harris for his crimes. Today, Harris is a national speaker and trainer on father engagement and prison reentry. His new memoir is Rising Above the Odds, My Journey from Pain and Prison to Power and Purpose. Charmaine spoke to Wisconsin Today's Rob Ferret.
Tell us some about your childhood. You talk about the north side of Racine from an early age. You see it as violent with gang affiliations, that it very much affected your life and the life of the kids around you. Can you share a little bit about what that was like?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up Racine, north side. And as I mentioned, you know, some of my early memories are, you know, police sirens and shootings and remember a young lady being killed and, you know, smelling the crimson red blood on the concrete. And I think I mentioned in the book at the age of 11, I sold drugs for the first time. So growing up was rough in Racine and, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of opportunity. You had to make the best of what you had.
From the perspective of a kid in that community, in that situation, what was the appeal of selling drugs?
The appeal was the fashion, the shoes, the clothes, you know, the status. Growing up poor, you having to wear clothes from Goodwill and St. Vincent, you know, it's tough because the people around you are so bought into these brands, Nike, Jordan. You feel like you have to measure up, especially around sixth, seventh grade, where you start to have your own identity. So that was the appeal to, you know, get started. But as I mentioned in the book, it wasn't that I wanted to get started. I was going around the community asking for money for my birthday. And a guy said, hey, stop asking for money. Here, take these two bags of crack cocaine and sell them. That's how men make money. That's how real men make money.
Now, you're arrested, ultimately incarcerated. Kind of a turning point for you, or one of a series, I think, of turning points. You end up in prison, but you go to a challenged incarceration program, a kind of boot camp. And that seems to be something that really got through to you. What was it about that boot camp?
The challenged incarceration program or the boot camp program. And that's where I really just had time to really develop myself. You know, we doing physical training, intense therapy for AODA and criminal thinking and things like that. And I really just bought into the program, whereas before I just kind of went through the motions. This time I told myself, I'm going to go through this situation and I'm going to learn as much as I can so that I can be the best that I can be when I got out of prison.
You mentioned the barriers, right, for somebody coming out of prison. They're on parole. They have that felony conviction that really get in the way of some of the things, housing, employment, and more that you need to do, right, to stay out of prison, what kind of changes would you want to see?
There's a lot of conversation around second chances and, you know, feeling like people who have felony convictions deserve a second chance. It's all theory for the most part, largely. But a lot of people don't actually practice it. So, you know, you got great movements like Ban the Box, where, you know, employers are attempting not to ask those questions. But that same concept can be applied to housing and property management companies. I'm not sure if you know, but, you know, a person with a felony conviction or on parole will be denied life insurance. There's so many other different things, Pell grants when it comes to education, FAFSA applications, so many societal things. And so sometimes you hope that you would have a second chance, but it's not given to you, and it's something that you have to go and take, in my opinion. So that's why I titled my book Rising Above the Odds, not necessarily beating the odds, but rising above them, because they're not going nowhere, in my opinion.
To hear the full interview from Charmaine Harris, visit WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And then finally, taking a look at weather, expect cloudy skies today with areas of fog and drizzle and sprinkles. The temperature is likely to reach in the low 40s to the north and near 50 south. And then tonight, patchy drizzle early in the east and partial clearing possible, with lows in the mid-20s to 30s. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy to sunny with temperatures in the mid-40s. And then to kick off the weekend, expect partly cloudy skies on Saturday with a small chance of sprinkles late in the far north to northeast, with temperatures reaching in the mid-40s. And then on Sunday, sunshine and warmer than normal. Thanks for joining us today for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Rob Mentzer. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.